12. It had been dumb luck that Officer Zeke Miller had been there at the desk that day. Wednesday was supposed to be his day off, but Captain Deacon had come down with a bad case of food poisoning. It meant double shifts to pick up the slack. Goddamn perfect Barney ended up on patrol, and Zeke got called in to man the station's phones and radio, which was the most boring part of the job, especially in a town like Sanders. The man on the phone had introduced himself as Agent 15 and rattled off a badge number to confirm his authority. He asked for the senior officer on duty. Zeke introduced himself. Agent 15 had been looking for a dangerous fugitive, an insurgent. According to him, she'd been seen in Sanders. Zeke had found this hard to believe. One, that any kind of major league fugitive would be in Sanders. Two, that a woman could be all that dangerous. There were hot, kick-ass women in movies and stuff, sure, but that was all pretend. 15 had assured Zeke the woman, Harriet Pritchard, was dangerous. However, the agent already had a man dealing with her. He needed Zeke to keep an eye on her accomplice in town. He'd asked if Zeke knew of a man named Elias Teague. Zeke knew him all right, and had said so. He'd known Eli Teague pretty much his whole life. 15 said this was good and had asked Zeke to keep an eye on Eli until further notice. That had been last week. Now, Zeke sat at the station's front desk and glared at that same phone. He'd glared at everything for the past few days. He snapped another pencil. Then he snapped the two pieces. He put his thumbs against the short, stubby remains and managed to break three of them. He couldn't get leverage on the fourth. Barney had been on the phones when Zeke had shown up for his shift. Goddamn perfect Barney. 2 years ago, Zeke would have thought a man named Barney would need brick balls to be a small-town police officer. Barney's were solid marble all the way through. A walking Greek statue, the people of Sanders called him. He transferred up from York Beach with glowing recommendations. Zeke didn't get along with him. They'd exchanged a few basic courtesies. Barney offered some news on Captain Deacon and mentioned a few items in the logbook. Then he grabbed his coat and headed for the door for a night patrol. And Zeke had settled in behind the desk. The desk where he'd be for the next 59 nights. After he'd questioned Nicole about Eli's disappearance, she had called Deacon with a bunch of exaggerated stories about intimidation and police brutality. It was all lies. She didn't have any bruises. She was just an uppity bitch who'd had it in for Zeke since he broke up with her in high school. And yeah, he'd kicked in the door to Eli's crap little apartment above Tanner's garage. He'd been chasing a fugitive. Time was of the essence in all that shit. He couldn't wait for a search warrant. His only real mistake had been keeping Agent 15's call to himself and not telling Deacon about it. Now, half the town turned against Zeke. Just that morning, getting off work, he'd heard whispers at the grocer when he stopped in to get a coffee and a knockoff McMuffin. Robin Ferber talking with Thatcher behind the counter about how Eli was too responsible to just up and leave without saying anything. Everyone knew that. They'd clammed up when they saw Zeke, but they weren't the only ones. Everybody in town kept wondering what had really happened to Eli. The fact that he'd asked his boss at Stallbank for a few days off didn't matter. Everybody gave Zeke the eye, like he was some kind of movie maniac with an axe or something, like he'd done something. At least Deacon was a fair man. He'd said it didn't look good, but he wouldn't be the one to start a witch hunt. Zeke just wasn't going out on patrol for 2 months, or dealing with the day traffic in the office. 2 months, manning the phones and radio every night for the next 59 nights and counting. Rookies, cripples, and old men did desk duty. He was young and strong, at the peak of his game. Like they said about star quarterbacks, he should be out keeping the town safe with Barney, not sitting in the station. Especially at night. Zeke left the desk and stomped around the office, his left hand flexed, open and closed, open and closed, open and closed. They only got 3 or 4 calls a night, and at least 2 of those were always that old fossil Mr. Moreland, calling to complain about barking dogs or a loud car driving by his house or someone walking by outside. Late shift on the desk equaled punishment, no question about it. Zeke glared at the wanted posters. A collection of losers the Stadies were looking for, plus 3 or 4 from the FBI. The real smart criminals almost never got wanted posters. One of the teachers at the academy had told him that. These people backed it up. A bank robber. A few aggravated assaults. One attempted murderer. A car thief from Ogunquit. Seriously, who was stupid enough to steal cars anymore with all the alarms and stuff? Eli's picture should be up on the board, Zeke realized. It needed to be. Eli was a fugitive. He'd aided and abetted. Andy was an asshole who'd been making Zeke's life suck since 3rd grade, whining about every joke or noogie or dodgeball that came his way. Every Monday morning, Deacon cleaned the whole board off, sorted in the new posters, and put them all back in alphabetical order. He tacked them up. Real tacks, the flat metal ones, not plastic pushpins. Zeke entertained the idea of rearranging the posters now to make space for Eli's poster. This was a federal matter, after all. That's what the voice on the phone had said. There'd be a poster. He imagined himself prying at the tacks, wedging his nails under them and pulling until they slid out of the corkboard. He could have the board stripped in 20 minutes, put back together in maybe half an hour. Eli's poster would go in the bottom row, but if Zeke swapped it with the FBI most wanted guy, Quilt, that'd put Eli up at the end of the second row. It was a good spot. Visible as soon as someone walked into the station. Maybe they'd get extras of the Eli poster, since he was local. Or he could make copies. Some wanted posters only named the one big crime somebody was wanted for, but hopefully Eli's would list everything.
Hello, Officer Miller.
Zeke spun around and reached for his sidearm. People should know better than to sneak up on a cop. If they wet their pants at the business end of a Smith & Wesson, well, that's how people learn to respect the uniform. But he was on punishment, desk duty. In Sanders, that meant his holster was empty. A shotgun sat in a quick-release mount behind the counter for emergencies, but right now, behind the counter, wasn't the side he was on. All this rushed through his mind as Zeke registered the man standing behind him. Just a few feet behind him, he hadn't made a sound coming into the station or walking across the small lobby. The tall man wore a dark suit with a matching hat like in Dragnet or one of those shows about people back in the 60s. He had one hand in his coat, and Zeke's thoughts went back to the shotgun as the hand came out holding a leather square. The wallet flipped open to reveal an elaborate silver badge with gold details and a glossy red, white, and blue inlay. Zeke registered the letters U.S. and Department of something that began with D, before the man snapped the badge holder shut with a casual display of badassery.
I'm 15, said the man.
All the sharp edges were gone from the man's voice, like his words were coming through a handkerchief or scarf.
We spoke on the phone the other day.
Zeke's mind cleared, and he remembered the call and the agent. Then he remembered Eli had ruined any chance to look impressive on the federal level. Zeke bit back his anger and stuck out his hand.
Good to meet you in person, sir.
15 looked down at the hand, and for a second Zeke thought the agent was going to leave him hanging. Then the man reached out and closed his fingers around Zeke's. He had a strong grip, not in a macho, ass-hat-scoring-points way, a solid, dependable grip. He pumped Zeke's hand twice, then released it.
I've come to hear your report on Eli Teague.
Zeke's survival sense awoke in the back of his mind and crept forward.
My report?
The tall man pulled a long, old-fashioned notepad from inside his suit jacket.
You were instructed to keep Mr. Teague under surveillance, to make sure he didn't leave Sanders.
Zeke's stomach flopped. His survival sense growled, warned him this conversation was a bad place to be.
Hey.
And yet 2 days after you and I spoke, Mr. Teague was seen in Boston, speaking with a known collaborator of our fugitive, one often used to pass supplies and messages between insurgent groups.
Look, I did the best I could. I tried to keep an eye on him, like you said, but he's a sneaky bastard, always has been.
So you knew this, but still didn't take precautions to stop him from getting away?
A statement, not a question. Zeke had heard things phrased this way many times in his life, by his parents, his teachers, his assorted bosses, always with that same tired but not surprised tone. Something settled over Zeke. His skin tingled, his pulse slowed. The noise that always cluttered his mind cleared away. Even his growling survival sense quieted itself. The word epiphany would mean nothing to him, but on some primal level, Zeke understood this was a major moment in his life. The next few minutes would have a profound effect on everything that happened afterward. He needed to be straight and come clean and not spray his usual stream of protective bullshit over everything. "No," he said. "No, I didn't. I didn't know what he was going to do because I was just thinking of him as some wuss from school who was pounding my ex, you know? I wasn't seeing the big picture." He paused for a moment. "I wasn't given all the information so I could see the big picture. Maybe if I'd known what was really going on, I could have done my job better, but I did the best I could with what I had." The agent seemed to consider this. As he did, Zeke noticed the mask the man wore. A transparent one with eyebrows and cheeks and lips painted on the plastic. Probably some special government issue thing. It seemed weird he hadn't noticed it before, but maybe that was the point of it. It made it hard to pick out the details of the agent's face. 15 had his eyes closed behind the mask, like he was thinking. He stood rock still. It was almost as if he'd started daydreaming. He turned his head toward the wanted posters.
"Are you a citizen of the United States, Officer Miller?"
Zeke twitched. It had only been 8 or 9 seconds of silence, but the agent's voice startled him all over again, like it was coming from nowhere, even though the man was right in front of him.
"What?"
2 fingers flipped the notebook closed.
"It's a simple question. I need to make sure before we continue."
Zeke nodded. "Yeah? I'm 100% American. All the way back to my great-great-grandpa. My family's been in Sanders almost the whole time."
"Were you born here?"
It was a we're-all-friends-here question, one to keep him at ease. "Yeah, well, Wentworth Douglas down in Dover. It was the closest hospital." 15 gave 2 slow nods. Zeke had to admit the whole mask thing was a little creepy. Now that he was really looking at it, it looked like one of the cheap-ass masks they sold at CVS around Halloween or the big costume stores that opened over in New Hampshire every September. He'd seen people wear those a few times, once when some losers had tried to rob the Cumberland Farms store on the south side of town. They didn't hide shit. This one, though, blurred all the agent's features, so the only thing Zeke could see was skin tone.
Definitely some kind of government issue thing. "I would like to offer you," 15 said, "an opportunity for personal advancement."
What? The agent slid his notebook back into his coat, pulled out a white square, and the big man was 3 steps closer, pressing the square over Zeke's nose and mouth. Zeke tried to slam the hand away, but it was like hitting a heavy bag at the gym. Something sharp burned his eyes as something sweet tickled his nose and throat.
"Congratulations, officer," 15 said as the lights dimmed. "You've been selected for service.